It was a cluster in the beginning. I didn't really know what that aesthetic voice was going to look like, but I realized this topic does matter. People are invested. It's growing. And as I started diving into deeper topics, I don't want to talk about major depression or alcohol abuse and then tie that into a photo of some lady on patrol in Afghanistan. And if you're looking at that post and you're drinking and you're like, man, I miss those days. Let's grab another one. So I was kind of, this isn't the right way to use this word, but it's the way everybody will understand it. My approach is the least triggering.
That's not much of a change for you, right?
My name is Kerry Kite. I used to load bombs in the Air Force, and now I'm a writer, a filmmaker, and an entrepreneur. Through using the post 9/11 GI Bill to go to college, working hourly jobs to pay the bills, and freelancing my way into a career, I've studied what it takes to successfully transition from service to civilian. And that study has become a conversation. On this podcast, I speak to other veterans, successful artists, and entrepreneurs about their transition, what they did well, where they failed, what they learned, and most importantly, how they applied their skills.
Episode 84 features Tyler Heisey, a Marine Corps veteran, and Back Azimuth Solutions on Instagram, where he chronicles his journey to become a licensed mental health professional.
Welcome. This is Veteran Made.
All right. Good morning, Tyler Heisey. Welcome to Veteran Made.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you. It's morning for both of us. I'm on the East Coast. You're in the Midwest, yep. In the Chicagoland area. By the time this episode goes live, I will also be a Midwesterner back in the Midwest, although still in the Eastern time zone. We're making our way back home to Columbus, Ohio. And I'm really excited to be back home, back in the Midwest, 2 feet on the ground, replanting our roots back where everything started for my wife and our daughter and our family. So good to be with you today, man.
Thank you. Does it snow like crazy in Ohio? Do you know?
It's not that bad. It's pretty flat. It's funny. So I split time growing up between San Diego and Columbus, Ohio. So I grew up right outside of Camp Pendleton. All my Pop Warner football coaches were Marines, which was kind of fun. And my parents were divorced. And so by the time the custody and all that stuff got settled, I spent first half of my life living in San Diego, visiting Columbus, and then second half of my childhood living in Columbus, visiting San Diego, and kind of swapped. Growing up, I would go in the winter times to see my grandparents, and it would snow a good amount. And we would, go and play in the snow, and it was super fun for a California kid. When we moved there, my dad was like, listen, when I was a kid growing up here, you don't really get white Christmases. We've gotten pretty lucky visiting over the years. It really doesn't snow that much. So that definitely proved to be true. We had a few like white Christmases, and it's just January and February just tends to be pretty gray in Columbus and in Ohio. But bits of snow here and there, but nothing crazy. Not like Chicago. My sister, also a California kid, she went to high school in California, went to San Diego State, and then moved to Chicago. And she's been there. She loves it. She's been there for a few years, but she sends videos on the family chat all the time with the snow. And she's like, what did I get myself into here?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. Cool, man. Well, listen, for those who don't know who you are, which won't be many, but for those who don't, would love it if you could give us just a brief primer, kind of who you are, where and when you served. And then we'll jump into the Instagram page. I'll ask you some questions about some content creation and we'll chat.
Okay. So for anybody that doesn't know me, nice to meet you guys. Name's Tyler. I was in the Marine Corps, signed up in 07, got out in 15. Now presently Chicago, obviously working at becoming a mental health professional, a therapist. That's the gist of who I am. I run the social media page Back Azimuth Solutions, which is mental health advocating, psychoeducation, things like that.
Yeah, awesome. I'm super excited to have this conversation. I'll probably jump all mm-hmm. over the place, up, down, and around, and we'll have a well-rounded conversation and jump around to a few pieces. So, I want to start though with, a lot of people in our community talk about mental health, and a lot of people in our community have issues with mental health providers and professionals. Very few actually make the decision to do what you're doing, which is going to be one. And then even fewer people do what you're doing and
talk about it.
Talk about that journey and yeah. are open and vulnerable and honest about like what it is. And you're, you know, obviously we've gotten to know each other, you know, fairly well and follow each other on social. And I've heard you on other podcasts. You go out of your way to respectfully say, hey, I can't really quite talk about that thing yet because I'm not fully licensed or I don't have that full education yet. So you have this kind of respect both for the community that you're aiming to serve, of which you're a part, and for the community that you're aiming to be a part of on the provider side. Can you talk just a little bit, ground us a little bit with where did that approach come from for you and why you're taking that approach and how that approach has adjusted as you've been getting educated along the way?
So I understand what you mean. The approach, are you referring to the humble skepticism and how I approach things?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, since everyone is heavily involved in social media, it's an echo chamber where anyone can say anything they want, which we're all allowed to do since it's free speech. But at the same time, coming from the military community, working diligently at finishing this degree so I can become a therapist and work with the community and every other community out there, I'd like to, fact check the things that I talk about. I think that's the most relevant way to put it right now, where the information that I'm providing, I like to send it to various professionals if it's something that I'm hesitant on even in the slightest, because I want to deliver information and knowledge that can help individuals and make sure that I am within my left and right lateral limits, if you will. And at the same time, I am a student in the process of becoming a professional. So I want to make sure that I am careful in the things that I share and disclose, even my own personal things, because eventually I'll have clients and I'll be working with people, and I don't want to say or do something in the social media space that could potentially jeopardize not just my profession, but the well-being of a client down the road too. So that's why I always try to express that humility of like, hey, I'm in the process of becoming a psychotherapist. I'm not a professional yet, because at the same time with people, as in every single human dealing with mental health in some capacity, nothing I ever say online is telling you what to do, because I don't know you. I can't give you clinical advice 5 years down the road on social media. So does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. I'm curious about the genesis of the page and of that approach of saying, okay, I want to go on this journey and I want to become a provider. And there's a gap that I need to bridge between what I know now and what I will need to know in order to serve in that capacity. What was the genesis of, well, let me document along the way? Where did that idea come from to document along the way? And what you just beautifully laid out, was that your initial approach, or has that kind of changed over time as you made the decision to document and then go?
Initially, I rolled the page out as a way to have a more structured approach in helping people. I jumped on the Oregon Trail bandwagon of life coaches initially and was trying to help individuals with the reintegration process, the sense of purpose, Viktor Frankl's search for meaning, all those different things. And as I was formulating the content for that coaching space, I'm trying to remember because I started it back in November of 21, not that long ago. I got into my graduate program I'm in now, and I was like, okay, I don't really want to do the coaching stuff. I have too much going on to kind of build a caseload for that. So how can I serve the community? And the page began to shift into the mental health advocating psychoeducation sphere that it serves its purpose today. And at the same time, like, I had a lot of friends that knew I was going to launch BAS. And it's been a very interesting journey in a way, watching the page grow, watching how the content's changed, the education's gone into deeper depths of the psyche, And it's been cool to see like mile markers through my academic progress as I reference off the page.
How easy was it for you to make that particular adjustment from, okay, I tried this, not quite working for various reasons, right? Workload, and then shifting it to be a little bit, the page to be a little bit more aligned with your kind of like educational approach and what you ultimately wanted to do. What was that shift like for you, mentally, I guess?
Mentally, it was fine. The strategizing and implementation was fine. It was more of a, I was recognizing that there was a lot of folks out there without a professional background that were providing coaching services, which is a completely acceptable thing for individuals to do. Like, I'm not talking down on that, but I've seen individuals that have dove into like the trauma space. And my greatest concern I always had whenever I talked to anybody was like, hey, this is not therapy. I'm not talking about trauma because I'm not trained in that. And if you're going from 0 to 10, I don't have the capability to bring you down. And with so many people on social media, so many people wanting to help the community see these various things, it was like, okay, I need to pull back from this form of influence, especially because I'm getting into this field and the execution of both of those roles, coach and therapist, are different. And I wanted to make sure at the same time, like, for how much good I'm trying to do coaching, I don't want that to jeopardize how I hold a therapeutic space, because the communication and behavioral styles are completely different. So yes, the transition content wise was seamless for me.
Yeah. It's curious because this is a topic that I have, you know, kind of up until now and some recent episodes I've stayed away from for the exact same reasons. Like not for the exact same reasons, for similar reasons. I do not have ambition to be a subject matter expert or to be a provider or to even necessarily facilitate those conversations. But one thing that I've learned over the last couple of years having my Instagram page and this podcast is that it's actually unavoidable. The conversation itself is unavoidable. I myself am very lucky. I haven't had traumatic experiences that have led to mental health challenges. I mean, I've talked about this a little bit before. I was working on the flight line at Bagram and there was a mortar attack and it happened very close to me and another person that I was working with. That person developed PTS from it. I did not. I don't even know why. I'm lucky. I'm very blessed in that I didn't. And so I can afford to not wonder why for myself. But what I can't do if I'm going to continue having conversations with people in this community, this is a conversation that I need to at least enter or be aware that it will come up. And so similar in the sense that I have respect for my lack of training and the lack of understanding that I have, but not the same in that I don't want to necessarily pursue that. And so I'm curious about, so you said it was seamless for you in that you made that recognition, but I think you made a recognition that most people don't make, which is, or people that do make it judge themselves for it and have a really difficult time processing and working through. I'm doing this thing. I'm now seeing other people doing this thing, coaching, life coaching, talking about trauma, talking about these things. They're not equipped. I'm not currently equipped. I now see what that looks like. I don't want to do it. I'm going to make a slight adjustment and kind of move it in a different direction while also loving and supporting that group of people, right? And trying to help provide a positive framework moving forward. Did you realize, or do you realize how difficult that was? And have you kind of noticed that in yourself, or maybe noticed that in others? Is that a clear question?
Can you rephrase that?
Yeah, you did something really difficult. You made an observation of yourself and other people of a community, and you just made an adjustment and you moved forward. You didn't judge yourself. You don't even necessarily judge them. You understand they're making a mistake in your opinion. Yeah. But you're leaving judgment out of it for yourself and for them, but you're still just adjusting and moving forward. Most people don't make those adjustments. They see, I'm going to say they, I'll say we as humans get this oh no, I was doing the wrong thing and I was doing this in a way that's actually not that helpful. Woe is me. And also I'm a bad person for doing it that way. I'm generalizing a little bit on purpose to ask the question of, you didn't do that. Why didn't you do that? What was your mindset? What was different about you?
I quickly recognized the potential grievous error that I could make. I knew that I was pursuing my educational path, and I realized that I could shift fires, if you will, and still provide value.
Yeah.
Because I did not, with that, with the recognition of that, it's not that I closed up shop. I adjusted. And since I adjusted, like, I have still assisted people on occasion.
Sure.
But it's very clear in the beginning, like, hey, these are my rules. Like, these are the spots we are not going to go. We will go into everything else that you want to talk about, but these are my no's.
Yeah, knowing your limits allows you to perform really well within those limits.
Because I want to recognize where I succeed, what my current vulnerabilities and proficiency are, lack of proficiency. And at the same time, I, from the posts that I make to the people that I talk to, like, I want to provide quality care and value from the words you read to the conversations that we have. And I do not want to dive into territory that I'm not comfortable doing. I do not want to operate unethically, because even though we don't all have to operate to certain ethical standards, we all have an ethical obligation to the community and how we interact, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I think it makes sense acutely for the community, and it also makes, you know, sense generally for other humans. I have a buddy of mine, and I have a phrase. I don't even know where I got it. I probably bogarted it from somebody or cobbled it together from other places. But I would say, give people their humanity, and mm-hmm. that humanity includes the range of both experiences that they've had and will have, as well as the range of emotions and behaviors. And that range includes good, bad, ugly, and everything in between. And it's kind of become a refrain for me. Initially, it was a refrain for me that I used for myself as a reminder to be less judgmental of other people, and then in turn of myself. And then really what it's become is this opportunity to just remind myself and give myself that, oh, okay, yep, we're all kind of on this journey. So it's like, it's that ethic that you're talking about, the ethics that you're talking about ring very true. And I also think it gives you the opportunity to speak harder truths than you otherwise would have, right? Like the kind of shallow version of that is, I'm going to speak hard truths. Yeah. But the warm version of it is, well, I'm going to speak harder truths from a place of love. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And at the same time, that also, for the service, even the written word that I provide right now, with that service alone that I provide, it takes a level of boundaries, social media boundaries, in the way that I present things, share things, connect with individuals. Because a lot of people use social media for the social aspect of sharing their own photos, their cool stuff, their life, what have you. And within the sphere of BAS, it is pretty clear for people when they see, like, it's not Tyler's personal page. Like, I have one of those, but it's very small and it's locked. It's private. But for the BAS, you know, you're going there for, you're going to learn something. If you're looking at the feed, you might get more of a snippet of who I am through the stories that I share. But I try to keep it very in respect to the community.
It's targeted.
Yeah.
It's where do you draw the line for yourself, either personally or professionally, however you want to answer the question, from which perspective you want to answer the question, because you're not you are kind and you are thoughtful and you're warm, but you're also direct. Like the copy I'm talking about is direct. How have you developed that voice?
My actual voice for like the reels, admittedly right now, I despise it. I'm trying to figure it out right now just because I don't want to be clickbait, because suicide is not clickbait. Trauma is not clickbait. And a lot of people don't really want to dip their toes in that. So I'm trying to find a way through the video voice and the audible voice that I can iron out. And as you may have seen, I'm still working on that. And through the written voice, it's come naturally in a way, and it's kind of hard to articulate, because I know that sometimes there's topics I'm not going to talk about because it might be something that I'm dealing with. And I don't want to talk about something that I'm dealing with. That doesn't seem fair. But going off of the military sphere, world, universe, the way that I present it is, like, I don't want to be a subject matter expert right now, because I'm not. I want to be the voice, the lighthouse, if you will, that is consistently sharing these things. And I know when I first started the page, it was head scratching and it was annoying. And I was doing a lot of networking with people on social media because I felt like I was canoeing upstream against all these other boulders. For example, within the infantry sphere of influence, you have like Tom Schumann, Killzone. You've got Adam from Goons Up. Like, you have these military figures within that sphere of influence that are very gung-ho type thing. And mental health is not a very popular subject, and it's not trendy, unless if you want to put your feet in the grass or do an ice bath or lay out in the sun naked, like, besides those cool things that are going on. So I had to find ways in which I could reach the community. And most importantly, the one thing that a lot of us can struggle with in every aspect of our life is consistency.
And so I didn't mean to cut you off.
And the voice is kind of, the written voice is kind of just developed over time, where I have aspects where I might have a post where I share a part of myself in my journey, but people can also tell when it's, hey, this isn't his perspective. This is him holding up the whiteboard right now. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask about the consistency. So how have you developed a creative practice on that front? Do you have a schedule? Do you have either a writing schedule for yourself just personally, whether it's journaling or even just writing a copy doc for these things that will eventually become posts? Do you plan out your posts? Like, you're talking about consistency, and it's very clear that you do consistently write because your output is high. But I'm curious if there's a, and I see you smiling, I'm curious if there is a, how much intention there is in that process for you.
Right now, it's almost chrysalised into an autonomous process for me due to all the front end work that I did. And I say that because, like, where the page stands right now with like the amount of eyes that it reaches, that is natural progression. There's no bots that have been purchased, because I know that is a capability now. I'm smiling because this is something that I have talked to others about, and it's something that took so much different planning, because I had so much of it was self-taught. through my own research, looking at other pages, looking up ways to do different things, because like I didn't know what a carousel was, the 10 slider. But I know when I first started it, I wanted to hit the three pillars, the teach, the preach, and the market. Teach something, preach about myself, market something. If it was the coaching or an organization, like, hey, check these guys out. The teach, the preach, the market, that was something that I did. I did a 7-day spread, and it was the overarching thing was I'm going to get out of this what I put into it. And I had to find my grooves in which I could post 3 days or 3 times a day, 7 days a week, twice a day, 5 days a week, twice every other day. And I adjusted to my own sustainability because this has to be enjoyable at the same time. Otherwise you're going to burn out. So I had to adjust the throughput or just the input of it.
Yeah.
I had to adjust that accordingly. I needed to, the aesthetic was a big one, trying to figure that out. That was a huge piece for me that I juggled for a long time. And now that it's clearly identified, I'm trying to figure out how to take that to the next level. But the biggest thing was consistency, because like mental health itself is such a big topic. And so many individuals, to include yourself, address mental health. You do it through storytelling. Fitness pages, community pages, the shooting pages, that's a hobby. Like everybody addresses mental health. And I know I wanted to talk specifically about the things that affect a lot of us. Most of us, if not all of us, and find a way to do it that was digestible, enjoyable, and relatable. And when it related to like my own personal storytelling, sharing who I was, that was a very tricky thing for me to do as I was growing the page, because I had a turbulent reintegration process coming out of the Marine Corps, and I struggled very badly with my mental health. And at the same time, with the growing of this page and trying to attract people to help people, because that's my biggest goal, how can I share my things without airing dirty laundry, if you will? Because it's very easy for people to do that. And I decided to utilize a 3E model. Take an experience, extract the lesson, and then explain it in a way that's understandable. Instead of like, last week I had depression and I wanted to take the forever nap as an example. That's airing dirty laundry. There's no value from that. So if I wanted to talk about, let's say my divorce, for example, because a lot of people go through that, how can I extract something out of that experience that I lived through, explain it in a way that's easily digestible and people can extract, get some value out of it.
Without getting into specifics for yourself or for others, are you comfortable explaining why you don't, and educate me because I'm ignorant on this. Can you explain why it's not valuable to use those real life and personal examples? Like, what's your philosophy on that? Again, if you're comfortable.
Why it's not beneficial, you said?
Yeah, right. Yes.
I mean, it's, I feel like what I'm about to say is such a cop out, but it's situation dependent. Like, I have talked about my divorce. I have talked about me trying to give up a few different times. But I've done it in ways like, what got me to that point? Or how did I come out of that? Or what was I not doing that could have prevented that? It's if I simply share a post like the example I just gave, like I was depressed last week and I wanted to take the forever nap. That doesn't what value does that bring to social media? Because social media is very, it's an echo chamber that has a lot of pain in it. Mm-hmm. When you get the political and the conflict stuff that starts intertwining into it, it's hard. And then you see these people that are super successful and you're like, man, my life isn't good. Look at this guy and his family and his business. Where I try to maintain those boundaries that I said and share these topics that affect everybody. We all, in some capacity, struggle when we get out of the military because it's a culture shock. Just regardless of your branch or MOS or gender, it's a culture shock. And something as simple as getting a promotion in the military to E4 or O2, you might feel imposter syndrome. And like that doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with you, but you might feel like a fraud and you might feel like you have no one that understands that because you're the only one that deals with anything ever because everyone else is fine. But then as you're doom scrolling at 9 o'clock at night on social media, you see another post from BAS and it talks about imposter syndrome. And it talks about how the dude became a foreman at some manufacturing plant in charge of a ton of people. And he felt like a fraud, but this is what he did to come out of it. And cool, I learned something.
Yeah, it's like it's back to having a targeted approach in the 3E framework that you talked about, I think is a good one, right? Because it's like, then the frameworks that help me understand things is because I work in you know, brand storytelling and advertising and marketing. It's like the marketing funnel, right? The very top of the marketing funnel is brand awareness. And the very bottom of the funnel is, you know, the CTR, the click-through rate, the purchase, right, of the widget. And if you, as a content creator, are just all the way down at the bottom of that funnel, only talking about that one thing, you're actually removing the range of experiences kind of through that funnel, as well as like not addressing people where they actually are, instead of addressing where they potentially could be, you know, in dire straits. So I think that makes sense. And that's a helpful way to look at it. I'm curious how you, it seems like you very carefully think about and carefully operate on social media. You understand the dangers, you understand the arena that you're in, and it feels like you have to be there in order to reach people. How do you personally and kind of professionally as a content creator on this front navigate those waters? The answer might be the 3 E's again, I'm not sure, but like what do you, so there's the creative practice, but then there's that kind of practical practice, that technical practice of like, okay, I'm going into the pit of despair that is Instagram. What do you do? How do you approach it?
When I first started and when I've talked to other people that want to make a similar impact that I do within that lane, because that's another big thing, I stay within my lane. That's a huge boundary. I don't touch politics, warfare. I don't touch marijuana and ayahuasca. I touch mental health and therapy. I don't know enough about other things, so I keep my mouth shut. Starting the page, and like I've talked to other people, I keep a pipeline loaded, anywhere between 50 to 100 posts, because sometimes posts get stale. Like, I'm not in the mood to post that one. But I can circle back to it in a couple months and be like, you know what? That happened to me recently. I can share that one. That one definitely hits right now. That was a huge thing, especially with that high volume of putting out content. I had to keep a bunch because there's days when you're not in the mood to do this.
Yeah. It
happens to all of us. And I understand, like, hey, 2 weeks ago, I went on vacation for a couple of days. I needed to decompress, hang out, get some sunlight. But I have 60 posts probably in my phone. I've probably got like another 100 on my computer. And it can be like, I have my Apple Notes. I have posts that I've made. I may see something from someone and be like, hey, he's talking about this. How can I turn that into a post as it relates to my lane? I've used whiteboards too. I actually have a whiteboard right now for my videos because I have a lot of complex subjects that I'm trying to figure out how to break down. But with having that pipeline of posts loaded in the chute, if I'm not feeling social media, post and ghost. I like to schedule posts. I have that capability where I can schedule a handful of posts at a time. That way, if I want to put my phone away, I can just let it do its thing. But at the same time, I have to be very deliberate in my usage of social media because I don't like it. I don't like the term content creator. But it serves a purpose, and we have to adapt or die, especially when it comes to helping individuals. So I can schedule out a few posts, leave my phone, leave my computer alone as it relates to that, or I can use my own scheduling for myself, and I can block out a time within my planner that, hey, you get 20 minutes to doom scroll, or hey, you got a 10-minute break to network, follow up with your DMs, whatever. So BAS, I try to keep very business orientated and not that.
Yeah. I feel the same way in general, and then specific to the content creator term. I can't stand it, but it is unfortunately an accurate description of what it is that we're doing in our various lanes. You mentioned that the development of the written voice came naturally. Have you been a writer your whole life?
Not really. I started working on a book, actually, my last deployment I had. Hasn't gotten anywhere. I have it somewhere. I think it's like in my war chest, stored in there. But no, most of the writing has just come from academic.
Yeah.
Like even when I was in the service, I didn't do a lot of writing.
Just a tool.
Yeah.
That exists to use. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the aesthetic and the development of that over time. Okay. And you have a relationship with an illustrator. I had my window open over here. I had scrolled all the way down to the bottom of your page and just quickly looked at it again, just to kind of like get a thing. Right. And, you made some adjustment. You started somewhere and then worked your way through it and developed it over time. Then you developed a relationship with an illustrator who's done the comics and some of the other various things, I think, probably for you. Has that been an enjoyable process for you, the aesthetic side of it? Or does it feel like a chore?
Now I love it, but I'm also overwhelmed by it because it's like, I love the military, you would hope, considering what I'm doing. But I feel like my brain fires on so many pistons at once because like, I love that 1950s look, the Mad Men look to it. But then the other side of my brain, the left side of my brain's like, okay, but how can you get this for people to want to see this stuff? How can you share this and make a bigger impact with people? I think for me, like where it's at now and the trajectory it will go, I'm happy with, aesthetically speaking. It was a cluster in the beginning. I didn't really know what that aesthetic voice was going to look like, but I realized through everything going on, like, hey, this topic does matter. People are invested in this. They want more content. It's growing. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to do the modern stuff because everybody does it. I've got a handful of photos. There's too much of that. And then as I started diving into the deeper topics, I'm like, hey, I don't want to talk about major depression or alcohol abuse, and then tie that into a photo of some lady on patrol in Afghanistan. And if you're looking at that post and you're drinking and you're like, man, I miss those days. Let's grab another one. So I was kind of, this isn't the right way to use this word, but it's the way everybody will understand it. My approach is the least triggering.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. I wouldn't have guessed that, but as you say it, as a consumer of the page, it makes total sense. You don't want to be too on the nose. You don't want to be too moody in order to reinforce the mood that you might be trying to address, but you still want to call to the community, I've talked about this before with some artists and filmmakers and who've been on the podcast, like our community, the military community at large, not just each branch at large, has this amazing relationship to art, going all the way back to the propaganda posters, back in those early wars. And so there's this really interesting aesthetic value that we all, our uniforms, right? We all shit on the Space Force for their uniforms for a reason. Like we have taste. We have an understanding of what it means to present yourself, haircuts and regs and all these different things, right? So as you're saying, that makes total sense. You want to call to the community. You want to call to the military aspect of one's experiences without pointing directly to the thing that, like you said, that either triggers them or that they might miss, or again, back to that entire range of experience. It makes total sense. It's really cool.
And also the other piece, like all of these topics that I bring up, gender, upbringing, religion, branch, MOS, rank, age, the topics apply to all of those things. The uniqueness and the culturally diverse military that we have had and always have had. And my lived experiences were Marine Corps infantry, which is very incredibly small in the universe called the military. And if I push Marine Corps infantry aesthetic, a Coast Guard mechanic, second class, and I don't know if that's a rank, they're going to be like, oh, this page doesn't even apply to me. Even though the topics do, the aesthetic doesn't. And the thing is, like, World War II, post-World War II, none of us were there. And I would say the majority of people, when they think of World War II, they're going to think of like the big battles and stuff. They're going to think of like Rosie the Riveter, the pilots, Masters of the Air on Apple. Like they're going to think of all those different things. And it's not going to, you're not going to really be thinking about like a motor T mechanic in World War II. Like if I throw up a guy with a flamethrower, you're going to be like, yeah, okay, military. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Dude, it makes total sense. There's a timeless kind of vintage feel to, well, I'd actually say that in reverse. There's a vintage feel to it, what gives it a timeless understanding, right? And I think you bring up a really important point, which is that none of us were there. So we're all displacing our own vision and version of that. And that actually frees your mind up and your heart up to accept the content that you're describing, which, man, that's brilliant. I think that's great. What has it been like to collaborate? And I think now would be probably a great time to shout out your illustrator and kind of teammate on that. What was it like to fold somebody in and collaborate on the aesthetic aspect of on some of these tough subjects?
At first it was hard because I didn't know how to network for support, because I kind of just pulled the trigger on this page. I was like, I need to do this. I want to help the community. If I can make a little buck on the side, that's cool. Fair enough reason. So like when I initially started, I wanted to come up with a logo. That was my, okay, you now have skin in the game for this page. You came up with this, you paid an artist to come up with a design, and now you're in it. You can see it, you can hold it, you can touch it. And as I was progressing, as you've noticed, as time's gone on, I've always had that fascination with military history, as we all have. And with me being in the Marine Corps, I wanted to focus on that aesthetic for the World War II. And I think I connected to Nomad. What's his page name? Nomad Art. I want to pull that up so I can shout him out accordingly out of respect. And it's great because I batch work with him too. Like I send him, hey, I've got these 10 to 15 ideas. These five, shoot from the hip, it's all you. These ones we might need to minor adjust. So Nomad Rule, NOMADRULE.
Cool.
I won't disclose his name out of respect. Since
is he a member of the community?
To my knowledge, he is. I've never specifically asked him, but I'm 99% sure he is. Cool. Because again, I haven't taken that step to kind of get to know him a little more. Things have come out naturally over time, but I respect him for what he does. But as it relates to that, like I reached out to him initially and we came up with some of those original pieces. Funny enough, we came up with some of the original artwork, which was kind of telling a story of Sergeant Blaze. And then it got into the more intense artwork. And that's when it was kind of like, hey, I want to do the pop art style. What was the guy's name? Rothsberger. One of the famous artists that did pop art. And those things kind of just naturally progressed for the page, our business relationship between him and I. And it works perfectly because now that we have that clear aesthetic, there's a few projects that I want to work on for down the road that require his skill.
That's cool.
Did that answer the question? I feel like I'm kind of going tangents at times.
No, it totally answers the question. It does. It's great. And I was going to ask kind of what's next on that front. If those are projects you're able to or interested in talking about, or if you want to just tease us and leave it mysterious, but yeah, what's next on that front? Like, what are you working towards, on the artistic or storytelling side?
Trying to stay relevant with new topics, keep things relatable to the community, which I think most is, because my goal with every post is to hit one person. That's it. I've been doing a lot of thrift store shopping for me and my apparel for my reels, because I'm trying to keep it 1950s. I'm considering attempting to grow my hair out, but I know I'm not looking too good. So I'm playing on that front. A lot of the, like the Thompson, the grenades, all that stuff is all replicas or inert. So I always try to think of props I can use for videos, because that's a lot better than death by PowerPoint or whiteboard. The posts, all that, I'm playing around right now with that. I found a lot of old school advertisements. So I'm seeing if I can somehow conceptualize my stuff into that. Between Nomad and I want to build a comic book that is a hard copy, not flimsy like a comic. And the intention behind it, and I have no issue sharing it because no one can take this idea, is use my artwork and tell the story of Sergeant Blaze and Captain Jane Ford. That's the whole Blaze Ford thing. Have the story of John and Jane in the service, because she was a female pilot. He was Marines fighting on the islands. And through this comic book, there's mental health lessons as it relates to the service member, and that it would address the transition and everything. And that's small, easy to bring somewhere. If you have a generationally obtuse-minded leader that's against mental health. That's the most respectful way I could put that. It's a comic book, so you're not going to really think that. That's the physical thing that I've been starting to conceptualize, the lessons, the storyboard. He's still churning artwork for me, for posts and stuff, because I'm always trying to come up with new things for that. And I have other, like, I'm going to rebrand the page once I'm licensed. Same aesthetic and everything, just I'm going to change the name, change the profile picture. Because at that point, once I'm licensed, I'll have more confidence in where I can operate. Because, like I said, I'm trying to be very careful in what I do now, which is why I do a lot of fact checking with other professionals out there.
Yeah.
But a year and 4 months from now, when school's done for now, I will know where I can operate correctly. Because a lot of the people that talk about mental health on social media that are professionals, there's like two that I trust. Because a lot of them share a lot of things that I'm like, how is that actually allowed? And how do you still have your license? So,
yeah, I'd be interested in delicately and respectfully having that conversation, maybe once you are licensed, and talk about that at some point, if that's something that we're both comfortable doing and we can find a professional and appropriate way to do it. Cause I think it's an interesting one, to think about, cause there is a lot out there. And frankly, there's a lot from a lot of people that I like and respect. And then I'll see some things and I'll wonder, well, yeah. I don't know enough about that to know whether or not that kind of sounds like bullshit, but I don't know. And there's fads with
everything,
psychedelics and all of that stuff. So,
yeah. And as it relates to my page, one thing that I like to remind people all the time, like, I'm not your therapist,
right?
Like, when I am licensed and I'm working with clients, that is a different sphere than social media. And social media is my perspective, psychoeducation, things like that. But I can't tell you how to fix your depression through a post. I'll bring coaching back down the road to help people out, because being a licensed therapist, you can't operate in every state. But within the coaching piece, I can address more people and also know how to navigate certain topics in a better lens.
Yeah.
So
I think that makes sense. And I think that's probably a good place to button up the conversation for today. Odd question, because we've talked about your social media presence and page, but where would you like to drive traffic? Where can we link in the show notes and tag on social media? Where do you want to be found?
I think there's only the one thing. If anyone wants to connect, read my posts, if I can provide value to anyone that's listening or watching this, the page currently is called Back Azimuth Solutions. And fun fact, it was initially developed from the coaching thing, because when you have a compass and you have a direction you want to go, you get out of the service, you might not know what direction you want to go. So you got to go back to your last known point to plot a new course. That's where the name came up. I haven't shared that with anyone in quite some time. But the name will change in about a year or so. Yeah. Back Azimuth Solutions. Or just ask anybody about the mental health page.
Yeah, I love it. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that again here. Okay, to wrap things up, I ask an open-ended question. What's on your heart and your mind for our community right now? Could be a piece of advice, something you want to get off your chest, or something you want to reiterate from today. But Tyler, what's on your heart? What's on your mind?
I guess the biggest thing right now, as it relates to content creation and mental health, merging the two together, it would be the fundamentals of boot camp and everything that our drill instructors, sergeants, whatever they're called in every other branch, the things they instilled in us, where mental health wise, we have to eat, sleep, work out, all that stuff. More importantly than that, as it relates to content creation, if you want to make an impact within any lane online for the community, the one thing that the community needs that we all miss is the consistency. And if you want to grow a page, of course, you got to be consistent. You got to give the people what they want, because it's page isn't, BAS isn't mine. It's the community's. That's why I'm always turning stuff. I got a post coming out in an hour. So, yeah, consistency, I think, would be the big one.
Yeah, I love that. It's a great message. I agree wholeheartedly. Tyler, appreciate your time. Appreciate what you do. Looking forward to doing this again. Looking forward to getting to know you better and collaborating where and when we can.
Thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate it.